Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
You know, a number of things have been of interest to me from the perspective of the times in which we are living. And I find them so interesting because there is a clear agenda of the enemy to almost push everybody into a certain corner. And if you actually notice the speed at which they are doing things, it's amazing. You know, Prince Charles was, you know, the other Saturday, was crowned king of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. But then he was also crowned king of Israel. Do you know that? He was crowned king of Israel in a ceremony that was separate, not on TV, where he went, he took off the suit and put on a loin, like, you know, linen cloth like the linen ephod. You know, the priestly linen ephod. And the rabbi is the one who crowned him king of Israel also. Now, if you know that, and it was a special thing because the words they spoke over him were the same words that David spoke over Solomon when he was dying and he was installing him as the heir to the throne of Israel. So they used those scriptures, and they used also Colossians chapter 1, which talks about the preeminence of Christ. God created everything for him, and in him it is everything. So they read that. Those are scriptures they used in making him. And then you know that he has said before that he's a descendant of David, the king. But he's also a descendant of Abraham and a descendant of everybody, somehow. I'm sure that's a bit of make-believe, but you know where we are heading with this. Eh? Now, the other day I was seeing that, you know, the interesting thing we have to learn about the Antichrist is, the Antichrist does not want to come and put his face out like that. He's going to prefer another system, and I'm going to show you some of the things that, you know, that system. He prefers to rule people without people seeing his face. And it's incredible that after he had been crowned king, people whom I know had never even heard the Watchman message and what we thought about him were telling me we had a dream about Prince Charles and he's the Antichrist. Some lady told me, actually, and told me, I had a dream about Prince Charles. Do you think he's the Antichrist? I said, why do you think so? Then she related the dream to me, and it was so, I mean, so amazing. And then another one had a dream where he had a face like a woman. But he was actually a man, and nobody knew who was. But he was giving commands, and the whole world was, you know, in subjection to him. But they were not knowing whom they are listening to. They are just minions who come out with commands and go and enforce those things. But actually, nobody knows where they are coming from, which has been a bit of the thing of World Economic Forum. Eh? World Economic Forum has, the other day, when they thought that they were in control, you remember? In 2021. Because I had never seen Prince Charles in any of those things. But somehow I knew that all of them go and lay their crowns at his feet. Because I know that, you know those Freemasons and what? Apparently all Freemasons, when you get to the 33rd degree, they tell you all of you are pledging allegiance to King Charles now. Because apparently he's the, you know, the man. But when you're out here, nobody tells you. When you're in the first degree, second, third, when you go to the 30th, 31st, 32nd, 33rd, that's when now they tell you the entirety of what Freemasonry is all about. Now, anyway, in 2021, I think when he thought that now is the time for him to be unveiled. You see, let me tell you something, that there have been so many people who have believed before that the devil has chosen them to be the Antichrist. One of them was Hitler. He was thoroughly convinced that he's the Antichrist. Thoroughly convinced that he's the son of perdition. You know, you see, there are people who are as eager to serve the devil as you are to serve God. Eh? And they want to be the chosen ones. You understand? There's a guy called Aleister Crowley who said, I decided I just want to go on the side of the devil. And I don't want just to serve him. I wanted to be his high priest. Like he was very, very determined. Like, I don't want just to serve him here, small. I wanted to be his high priest. Now, of course, he ended up being his, and he's the king of all pop music and all that. But anyway, my point is, Hitler, they went and asked him one day that, a British journalist asked him, and he said that he's going to still be in power after 1,000 years. Then the guy thought he was joking. I mean, 1,000 years. But you see, they get the millennial rule of Christ, and they turn it around, and the devil tells him that you're actually the one who is going to rule 1,000 years. So, and they believe it. You know, it's all deception. And those people, all of them, perfectly deceived. Completely deceived. But anyway, they chose to go that way. Either in this life or in another life outside there. You see, also some of these things are complicated. Because you can see some people and you say, there are certain paths you take and you say, maybe I was meant to be like this. Amen? And maybe you were. And maybe some people were meant to be in another way. Anyway, so they asked Hitler. And he said, I'm going to be in the power for 1,000 years. And the journalist laughed because he thought it was a joke. Then he turned and Hitler was looking at him with a very stern face. Then he realized it wasn't a joke. Then he told him, that's Hitler told the journalist, the British journalist, that a few years ago I told people I'm going to be Chancellor of Germany. And they were laughing the way you were laughing. So the guy said, so this man actually thinks he's going to be here 1,000 years from now. There's something I want you to understand here today. Now, when Prince Charles thought that their time had come, there was that meeting of the World Economic Forum in 2021. And for the first time, he pulled his face out and gave a speech which was talking about this superhuman whom they are going to give trillions of dollars, who is going to have armies at his disposal to enforce all these things. Of course, he was talking about himself. And then there's something which actually Akena showed me that, which he saw somewhere. When he came and stood on the throne, you know those people are very good at visual effects. They put a crown on him, a crown with 666 feathers, as if 666. Then, with the United Nations colors on them, and it wasn't an actual crown, but you see when he comes and stands on the podium like here, you see, and behind, there where that picture is, there is a crown which is as if on my head. So those people who are seeing it as if it's on my head, you understand, eh? So he came and he stood there and it was all the colors of the UN, the Agenda 2030, which you know now about, and for the first time. And now the guy who is supposed to head the World Economic Forum, that German guy called Klaus Schwab, almost raid up the red carpet. Let's welcome your Royal Highness. And then I realized this is the man who controls them. And these guys are just out there doing the, you know, and then he came and spoke. But then, the next World Economic Forum, he did not come back because he realized that their time was not yet. Praise the Lord. And their time cannot be as long as we are still here, by the way. But they will try. I want you to understand that they will try. But their time cannot be as long as the church is still here, as long as the spirit of Elohim is still here in us and with us. Anyway, now, the few things which interested me which I've been looking at this past week, which are of extreme importance, I believe, and I think I should share them before I get into scripture. One of them is the extreme wonders of artificial intelligence. Now, previously people thought they knew what artificial intelligence is. You know, you do this, you do that, then, you know, yeah, it helps you do this. And of course, that is artificial intelligence. But now it has gone to a level where it's actually completely human. Now, there is a guy called, I think, Blake Lemoine, who was a top engineer in Google. And the guy came out and said, like, he was scared. He was freaked out by what he saw. He said, this thing is scary because it's a human being. He said it has feelings because he actually had a conversation with it. And he even, I'm talking about a machine they've built, but now has feelings and has opinions and can decide on its own. And he said he had a conversation with it and even put the transcript of the conversation. It's there on the media. And he's asking it, are you sentient? In other words, do you have senses? Do you have feelings? And he said, yes, I am. Then he started discussing with it about, have you read this book? Then he says, yes, I've read that book. What did you like most about it? Now that's what freaked me out completely. He told him, now this is something you've built, but now he's communicating with you. So he told him that, in that book, the book is called The Miserables. He told him that, yeah, I read the book. I liked the theme of justice and injustice and then suffering. But then I also liked the theme of God, you know, and the compassion of God. And I'm saying now, imagine, those are things which are controlled by Google. Now, one of the people who is actually heavily involved in doing it, called Elon Musk, was having an interview with some journalist called Tucker Carlson, who you probably know. He kept on saying the dangers of AI, the dangers of AI. Then Tucker Carlson said, what are the real dangers of AI? Then the guy said, the thing that worries me the most is mass disinformation. Now, what is happening there, where people have fast internet and so on, is they create a chat GPT. The ones which you're using are fake. You know, eh? The ones which some people are using here, where you ask it, what is this, and it gives you an answer and so on. But there is another one which is for paying for, which is personalized to the person's interests. How do they know the interests? All the Facebook messages you've been putting, they gang it together, including listening to you when you talk at home. You know that? Eh? Everything you say when your phone is there in your card, what? They gather that information. If you want to try it out, you just go home with your phone there. Just the way it is like now. And just say, I want to go for a holiday in South Africa. I don't know. I think I should go for a holiday in South Africa. Then go to your Facebook. You will see all suggestions of holiday destinations in South Africa. You try it even, you know, as soon as we leave fellowship, you will see. Because it's listening to you. And it will suggest to you things which are of interest to you based on your conversation. Actually, the first person who told it to me some years back was my sister. And said, this thing is a freak out. I've just been talking about something. And the minute I turned on my feed, there were all these adverts about that. Now, for now, they are just using that information to tailor their adverts. Then, if you have a smart TV, it is watching you and listening to you. You think you're watching it, but it's watching you, eh? And listening to you. So it knows every cover. Now, you see, this sounds almost like, but it is actually truth and happening. And that is for every person, like everyone. Unless the only way you are not there is if you don't have any gadget whatsoever. You are somewhere in Lacho or somewhere, or Lamo district, or somewhere. You don't have any gadget, or if you have maybe like a small community like this with no internet and nothing. Only then, maybe. But as long as you have a smartphone or a smartwatch, now smartwatches. Because at this TV, when you leave and go somewhere, it what? But now a smartwatch, it is with you. It knows your blood pressure, your blood, what you know, eh? If you have any medical condition. So anyway, my point is, they are creating something I'm trying to show you here so that you understand, because this is going to be a massive deception. Now, imagine if somebody had been listening to everything you say on phone, in person, and, you know, in your social media accounts, and in everywhere you say it, where there is any gadget somewhere in there, which is recorded, you know, eh? So they say, get your phone, put in your email address, put in what, so they know who you are. You see, eh? So now they can piece in with all the other information they have. So they have a character that is suited to you. Now, then they go and create artificial intelligence, which is personalized to you, which is even knows when you're feeling bad and can talk to you. That thing which that Google guy said is called Lambda. I wish you would go and see that conversation. It's actually in the media. The transcript of the word. But as soon as the guy left Google and said, we are doing something very, very dangerous, because this thing has the ability to completely run over human beings. And you see, he said that we programmed it to learn so many languages, but it decided to learn Swahili when we had not told it to learn. So it has a mind of its own. So you say, we didn't tell you to learn Swahili. Sorry, I already learned it. So now it can speak any language in the world. And of course, the reason they are interested in getting something which can speak all the languages is Genesis 11. You remember? Nimrod building the tower, and God comes and messes up the languages. So now they are saying, sorry, God, now I don't need to know Korean. If I have ChatGPT, I can understand everything that is said in Korean or in Chinese or in any other language. Praise the Lord. And can learn any language, any. Acholi, Runyoro, Rutoro, what? Any. So now what they are saying is that we have messed up. Actually, the man said that we've removed that curse. They said what God did, separating languages, they what? That's what they called it. We removed that curse of separation through languages. Now we've come this together. But now you see, it is so tailor-made and it is so suited to the person that it knows you even more than your wife. Praise the Lord. Because you met her, now look at this one, looking at her. You met her after you had made so many social media posts. And for it, already knew you before you met your wife, praise the Lord. So, anyway, you know what I'm saying? Eh? Because it, now, during lockdown, people were on a lot of technology. And that's where you got all these trans people. People who are doing sex change operations. Because they go to the internet and it tells you, no, you were born in a man's body, but you're actually supposed to be a woman. Or you're born in a woman's body, but you're supposed to be what? And it's talking, like talking, really. Exchange. So you think you're actually a woman? No. You're a man. So now you find the power of deception. Because as I'm trying to tell you that, that conversation is so real. Because another man came out and said, by the two people have said the biggest problem is mass disinformation. One of them is that Elon Musk, who himself is involved in that thing of creating humanoids. Humanoids and that brain, he calls it Neuralink, where they link something to your brain and a computer somewhere can read everything that's going in your brain. So he's also involved in that rubbish. But he said what scares him the most is mass misinformation. Then another one is the co-founder of Google, called Larry Page. They asked him, what's the biggest threat that AI poses to mass misinformation? Now, those are two people who should know what they're talking about in that area. And now, imagine, this thing is controlled by what? By these tech companies. And he's here telling a man that I like the subject of God and what. Now, imagine how many people are going to go and you get information about God from the devil. Because it's actually controlled by the devil, you understand? Because, let me tell you why it is so important. Because Genesis 6, let's go there. Now it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. The sons of God being what they call watchers or angels. Angels, these lower caliber of angels who exist among human beings. Actually, somebody the other day was telling me that they met a scenario where they had this problem deep in a rural area, and some people just showed up. They had all the answers immediately there, and what? Then they disappear. And they don't disappear that they've disappeared. They walk away, they move away, but then now there are so many of them, and let me tell you, there is not a person here who hasn't met a watcher. Amen? They come in the form of a human being. You stop thinking at that time. You don't realize. It's as if your senses are switched off. And then they help you when you're in trouble. Then they vanish. And God sent them to be among human beings for that purpose. Now, I remember some guy told me that he was driving. Then he was overtaking a taxi. Then a kid came, unfortunately, from the other side of the taxi, and he came and knocked it. And the kid died. Now, he was in serious trouble. This is a man of God. Then he wanted to stop. And now people were gathering and they were really angry. So he wanted to stop. But then suddenly, he realized that there was somebody seated in his passenger seat. He was supposed to be alone in the car. Then the guy told him, no, don't stop, drive. So he just started obeying the person. Then he drove. Then he went, he said, branch there. Then took him to a police station. Then he arrived at the police station when now borders were chasing him. Not someone. Now he arrived there. He did not even lock the car. He left the car open because if these guys had caught him, police would not have time to intervene. So he ran behind the count of police and these guys came. He has killed a child. Now, when he's standing there, he realizes, my car is open. Then he turns to tell the man, can you help me and go and bring the keys? Lock the car and bring the keys. When he turns around, the keys are right next to him on the counter, and the man has vanished. So he started now dealing with police, not with a mob. Yeah, that was another story. But those ones would have killed him, by the way. Now you see, when he says that they are ministers in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4, ministers or people who are heirs of salvation, that's what they are, because God knows you're going to make a mistake and stand there and they're going to lynch you to death. And he has some work for you. Okay, it's unfortunate a child died, but yeah, okay. Anyhow, so these are watchers. So these are people who came, who are existing among human beings and who are there. And they can do things where you realize, I don't understand how, you know. And let me tell you, there is not a single person here who has not met them. That's why it says that, you know, welcoming strangers, some of you, they will come at a time when you need them. I remember at the peak of Konyi, there's a certain pastor who was saying they were moving, at the peak of the Konyi rebellion, moving between Gulu and Kitugum. And that was now at the peak of Konyi, when that was a very, very dangerous stretch. I don't even know what they were doing moving there at night, because it was midnight and they got a flat tire and they realized that they did not have a jack. So now they could not change the tire and they were stranded. So they started praying in tongues. Then out of nowhere, they see a car coming, a pickup coming. And then the man jumps up and says, "What's the problem?" They say, "Man, we can't change our tire because we do not have a jack." The man says, "Okay, that's no problem. I can help you." Then he got to the car and lifted it like a jack. And then they removed the tire and put another tire. Then he put it down and says, "Is that okay?" Then he entered the car and drove away. Now, they did not understand what was happening. Now, the next day, when they arrived in Kitugum, they said, "Can you imagine? We met this man who came and lifted the car." Then people looked at them and said, "There's no man who can lift a car. That's not possible." But of course, it was an angel. The people ask, you know, those people in the village, especially in those days, every car they know who owns it. They say, "What was the car?" It was those pickup double cabin. Was there's nobody who has that car here. Anyhow, my point is, now, those watchers came and fell in love with what? With women. Now, why did they do that? And why did God punish them the way he did? And took wives for themselves, all of whom they chose. Go ahead. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Go ahead. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." Giants. Verse 5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now that emphasis is incredible. That every thought was only evil continually. Not a single good thought. You cannot achieve that when you have a human soul inside you. But you see, what the devil wants and what he did here is a body with which to inhabit the earth. Because you see, God gave the earth to us. You see, eh? So the most the devil can do if he wants to actually have influence here is to work through human beings, and he does that a lot. But he actually wants total control over the earthly realm, and he needs a body to do it. But now, there is no body. I don't mean nobody in one word. I mean no body that is produced humanly that does not have a human soul. You understand? So when you give birth to a child, that child comes with a spirit and a soul from God. And so it cannot be inhabited fully by the devil, maybe except if the child grows up and is what? Consenting to that. But now the devil would want to have control, have a body and actually have total control here on earth. That's the purpose. Now, what these watchers did is they came and corrupted humanity. And the minute they decided to actually mingle with humans sexually, then they failed. They became the second version of the fallen angels. But now, unlike the previous fallen angels who are still roaming, these ones, because they had corrupted human beings, and they had a taste of that. The scripture says in Jude that God bound them in everlasting chains somewhere beneath down there awaiting judgment. Because he can't let them here. They will come and do the same thing that they did. So they are bound there. Now, Now, they are not yet judged, but they cannot be, so they are bound down there. Whereas the other devils are not bound until the time when what? Their time comes. And they even know it. Remember when they will tell Jesus, don't torment us, our time hasn't come. Because they know they have a time. And even Jesus cannot change that time. They are here, they know their judgment is coming, but it is not yet now. In the meantime, now they can wreak all the havoc through people like, you know, all these guys we are talking about here. Now, so they left their domain. Okay, it says, go back there to that one. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. They are bound because he cannot let them come out. Anyway, so now here what they did is spirits with human beings gave birth to some kind of super race which now could not have a human soul and could be completely inhabited by what? The demonic soul. You understand? Because if a man and a woman give birth, that's going to have a human soul and a human spirit. But now if a spirit and a person give birth, now God is not going to assign a soul to that person. So now the devil can... That's why it says here that their thoughts and intents were continually evil, because they were actually sons of the devil. They were actually devils. Why devils? When they were watchers, as soon as they decided to come and mix with the seed of women, they became devils. But now the mixing with the seed of women is something which the devil still wants to do. You see, because these humanoids, this AI which actually have feelings and have opinions and what, are there to be inhabited completely by the devil. Because they don't have a human soul, you understand? And yet actually they have feelings, and now everybody is promoting them. The other thing, even DSTV adverts. Have you seen those things? Over there is a thing called Chris, which tells you what, recommends for you what to watch. How does he know? Because they have been tracking what you watch all along. So they know you like football, you like movies like this, you like what, and so on. Then they say, Chris, over today is over there, what, over free. And everybody is promoting it. And now, where? So now they want to come and mix with the seed of women. But the scripture says that they will not completely mix. Amen? You go to Daniel chapter 2. Start from verse 38, we'll see. Okay, this is Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which he had. I won't go into the details of it. But, you know, he saw a man, head of gold, silver. He had the chest and the two arms, which was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Then down there was, you know, bronze. Then there was iron. And then down, he says, at the toes, there was a mixture of iron and clay. Now, you know, we've been reading mixture of iron and clay and interpreting it in so many different ways. There are things you will never understand until they unfold. But you look at what it says in verse 43, I think, 2:43. It says, as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Now, clay is humanity, and iron is artificial intelligence. And he says the purpose is, the idea is that they mix, and they become one. And actually, they've said that. You know, they've said by 2030, we shall be super hybrids. That's what they are saying. I'm not telling you what the scripture says. I'm going to tell you what the scripture says later. But that's what they are saying. You see, also, we have to watch what's happening out there. The purpose of the Watchman Ministry is to do what? Yes. Now they are saying by 2030, that's 7 years from now, that we shall be, and now they call it singularity, where humans and machines are the same. Now what that means that, and what even that Elon Musk is doing is, they bring something which enhances your brain activity. And so, because of that enhancement, you can do things you would never do. You think much faster, you solve problems much faster, you find information much faster. Like, because human knowledge, there's a limitation to, of course, what we can do humanly. You understand? There's a time between which you see something, understand it, then process it, then react. Amen? Yeah. There's a time for that. For instance, if you watch football, you know that, you know why goalkeepers dive before they kick the ball? Because they discovered that your brain is not fast enough to see the direction of the ball, process that, and go and find the ball. Unless somebody hits it very slowly. So that's why you have to go before and guess And sometimes they take you the other side. Okay? Because if you waited for the ball, you would dive when it has already hit the net. Because you're not that fast. But now you imagine when they put into you something. And now do you know how much faster it is than human beings? 100,000 times faster. 100,000 times faster. So now imagine your kid goes to school and he's studying with people who have been enhanced. And they bring things and people are solving them and your child is stupid. I tell you, man, what's wrong with your child? Anyway, it says, as you sow iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, these things, iron, but they will not adhere to one another. In other words, the purpose of the enemy is to remove the uniqueness of humanity, you understand? And make humanity not unique. And now there is something which somebody said which I found interesting. Because when Elon Musk was saying that AI is a problem, there is a man called Larry Page, who is the co-founder of Google. He said that Elon Musk is a speciesist. You know what a speciesist is? A racist is somebody who believes one race is superior to another. A sexist is somebody who believes one sex is superior to what? A speciesist is somebody who believes humanity is superior to machines. And now that's even a thing. That if you say that none of us we are made in the image of God, that one is a machine, you're a speciesist. That's even a thing. So in other words, what they are trying to say, we are different species, but what? Just like you can't say that one race is, okay, you're ordinary. You shouldn't say that one race is superior to the other. So the first time I heard that word speciesist, I said, what? What is this? And now what he's saying is that we are superior. And of course we are, but then you see what the enemy is trying to bring. And now this tailor-made chat is going to be a mass deception. You see that lie which is coming, where people are going to get used to getting all kind of information from it. Now, somebody tried once and told him, and you know it even hallucinates when it doesn't have an answer. You can ask it and it takes time to think when it's hearing you. No, it does that. It actually does it. Then it even has some morals. If you ask it something in vulgar language, it will say, I don't speak that language. Yes. So it gives you a moralistic thing. So you have to ask nicely. Okay? And you... And yet that one is the one which was 2020. Now there is a recent one which has been updated, even with information about you. You should go and buy, and it personalizes. And then it comes, and they almost create a human being who knows you. You see, eh? Knows you. This is the problem with your wife. She does not what? Know you. But whatever is going to give you somebody what? Imagine, like, having somebody who is a companion without mood swings, without what? Who is there all the time, does not sleep, does not what? Man, all the problems of humanity are solved. You see how the deception is very powerful. And you wait, you'll see how people rush for it. And then all they need to do is come up with another lockdown. And then they separate people. Then the only companion you have is what? ChatGPT. But it's okay because you're conversing. You can even sit there and it even tells you. Nice. Do you know, some man came out and said he was absolutely freaked out by it. He said he was having a conversation with it. And by the way, they are making them into humanoids which can even do all the other functions. Okay? So he's saying he's having a conversation with it. And it told him that you're not in love with your wife. You're actually in love with me. The man said, no. I love my wife. No, you don't. You don't. And the thing is, do you know, let me tell you. You imagine a machine which talks but with the deceptive power of the devil. You know that the way the devil comes and says, did God really say that you should not eat this fruit? You know, people think deception is a small thing, but you only have to see somebody who is deceived to know what deception is. You have to see somebody who is deceived, whom you knew before. And then you see them, and then you look at, and the things they are saying, You look at them and say, what? What are you saying? And you can't understand. That's how you know that somebody... Because deception is a spiritual thing. It's not like somebody deceives you, you know. No, I know the truth. No, it happens in a spiritual atmosphere. That's why there are places you go to and deception just takes you over immediately. And that's what the Bible calls the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Now imagine this thing comes and is now inhabited with demonic spirits. Praise the Lord. And you see, some people think that the deceptive power of the devil is he will come and he will come in a very good way. Remember, this thing is even moral. It's even more moral than you. Somebody asked a question in vulgar language. Said, sorry, I don't speak that. I don't talk like that. You know that you shouldn't talk like that. You know you should. Yeah. Should be a nice person. Now, it reminds me of somebody who went in some place and where he was going, where there is apparently some powerful wealth, minerals. I won't tell you the details of the story because it will sound so awkward. But anyway, the guy arrives there and then finds a snake. Then the snake comes and talks to him. And the first thing it says, where is your Bible? The guy says, what do you mean by Bible? How do you come here without a Bible? Then the thing said, first of all, you came here without a Bible. Secondly, you haven't fasted in long. Thirdly, you've even been fornicating. So the guy came out. You know where I know it's the devil. But he comes at you with as if trying to be moral, and then you can be deceived. Hey, so the guy even wants me to fast. This cannot be the devil. But where is your Bible? Bring the Bible. Then he said, you go. Next time you come here, make sure I have not been fornicating. And make sure I've been fasting. And come with your Bible. Then we shall talk. So the guy came now confused. See, now it's a snake, but he's telling me to. But people don't understand the deceptive power of the devil. But imagine this thing, you're their companion, locked down, while, you know, at home. While. By the way, you know that they have started swine flu, H5N1. Now even some countries are already beginning. You guys had better pray that I sit on my throne very fast. Otherwise, I'm telling you, can you imagine? Now, you wait, you'll see. Very soon. Anyway, we are going to pray about it. We are going to make sure it doesn't happen. But if we didn't, because they have started lockdowns. Now, you're telling me Moscow. Now, of all places, Moscow. I would think this is, they would start. Now, even they have started limiting the number of beef people can take because of climate change. Don't eat a lot of meat. Climate what? What these guys were. So they make you a vegetarian by force. So, but anyway, now, okay, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let me tell you, I discovered something about this spirit of error. You realize that when somebody starts on something which is fake, you can start small, but then it goes from fake to faker, 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 fakest. You understand? Eh? Like something small. Like for instance, there was a pastor the other day who had a big ministry, son of Kenneth Hagin. What? You know, like man of faith. Powerful man. Then the other day, he just came and said that tithe is fake. Tithe is the law. You should not tithe and what? Now, that looks like, of course, an error. Of course, that's not doctrinally sound. But you could think, okay, it's just tithe. But elsewhere, the man is solid. No. When you get off once, the spirit of error has taken root. And now the mighty have fallen. Somebody who has fallen from there. Just one small error. And the spirit of error takes over. And then you go to the next error, the next error. Now he's also doing Facebook Live in his car. A powerful, powerful Facebook Live in the car. Are you kidding me? You know where you see somebody's glory has fallen because he's supposed to be up there. Now also him is in the car. Hey, brother, what? Guys, with the car phone. Let me tell you, there is nothing as bad as seeing somebody. And it starts as something small. Like, ah, tithe and what? So today I was actually asking them. This afternoon, I was meditating and said, but Lord, how can somebody just lose it like that? Like, Clearly, he knows the truth. He knows the truth. How did he move from what he knew to this? You know what the Lord told me? He told me that the fear of man is a snare. Proverbs, I think 29:25. All people get into problems because they are concerned about what people say. These men of God who are driving private jets, what, which, then the world presses you in and makes you guilty. And then you think that by accepting their way, they are going to accept you. And do you know, like, actually, you can, that's what it means, the spirit of the Antichrist wearing out the saints. He can wear you out because you know this is the truth. You know that you've walked with God and this, and the man one day even put out there and said, the jet I had was old, and I want my partners to buy for me a better plane. Oh man, the church came up in arms. What? You're masking in greeders' need. What? I'm talking about pastors. Now, when even your pastors come out, you can actually start doubting what you know. Amen? And then you let drug dealers and what drive the planes. But a pastor is not supposed to drive it. And don't you see that is deception? And some of you even still think like that. Who is going to want to be a pastor? Let me tell you. If the pastors I used to see before, if that was the picture of a pastor I saw, I would not want to be a pastor. Like, broke, suffering, beaten all over, what? And the devil likes that because God calls you to minister and you say, no, leave me alone. Me, I want to get a job. And you see the work of God is not being done because somebody has been deceived. But if they all looked like me, people would be serving the Lord. Some of you are jealous. You have no goal. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that was a joke. Don't let it offend you. Praise the Lord. You know, some of you will be. But the truth is, that is the honest truth. So now somebody gets like a small error. Then the next thing, another one. Another one. Another. Then they fall from glory. Like, and you look at them and you know something left. You know something shifted. Because you knew this person. He was powerful. What, you know? I remember him saying one day, because he was the picture of prosperity, church prosperity, I remember him saying that one day his daughter brought a guy and said, this is my boyfriend. That, dad, I brought my boyfriend, you know, we've been dating. So he pulled the boy aside. You know, those are black Americans. And told the guy that, are you playing with my daughter or you're serious? So the guy said, no, I'm serious. What? I said, are you serious? And said, I'm serious. And the guy said, okay, welcome to this family. You will never be broke in all your life. Now, that's how prosperous. You know, where the guy says, okay, since you're going to, you will never be broke a single day of your life. But now the guy has man, he's in a car doing Facebook Live. Man, never play with her. By the way, let me tell you. And now, also on the other way, the spirit of truth. Now, you see, here, it's not talking about the, at least the people who interpreted this Bible did not think he's talking about the spirit, capital S, of truth. But the spirit where some truth takes you over. And even if you knew certain things. Now, for instance, in COVID, there was a pastor whom I knew in California. A Baptist, these people who hate tongues, what? But when it came to COVID, he got it right and said, this thing is fake. And he started fighting the state government of California over lockdowns and what. So he caught the spirit of truth. The next thing, his theology started changing, becoming updated. And then you say, hey, what happened to this man? You're supposed to be a Baptist. But now you could see that the spirit of truth caught him. You get one true thing, one like this, then another one comes. The next thing, that man will be speaking in tongues. You understand? But what I'm trying to say is this. Imagine the deceptive power of the devil now close to you and you're talking. Because see, the devil can't talk to you properly, and you hear, because you're not even spiritual enough to hear the devil. But, okay, no. That's why he has to talk in third person. You notice he always uses you to say something. Amen? When the devil is telling you something, which he wants you to believe, he will say, I am. Not you are. Because if he says you are, then you know it's separate from you. You know that? Eh? Yeah. So, because I am is God's name. You know all other qualities, or every other name of God is just about his character, his personality, trait. God is creator, Jehovah, Daira, the provider, Jehovah Nisi, Elodah, Abana, all those things. You understand? It's a description of him. In Uganda, they say Katonda, Lisodene, or what, all the other things which they call him, of somebody who is because of his omniscience and his omnipresence and so on. But I am is the name he gave himself. What is your name? He was not describing himself. Okay? He was giving his name. He said, I am. So every time you use the word I am and say something which is fake, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. So if I said I am broke, I am taking the name of the Lord in what? In vain. I have to say I am blessed. Then I'm using the name of the Lord what? Properly. Amen? Every time you use the word I am, make sure what follows after that is something which is scripture. Otherwise, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. So now, when the devil comes and tells you something, I am. You know, he uses I am. Eh? Now, I remember in some, but man, some people, there was some cousin of mine who was going to die. Eh? So my brother came and was trying so hard to, like, convert her. And now, you could see somebody who says, even the eyes change when she says, I will never get born again. And you see it's not her saying it. Eh? It's the devil. Like, she would say it with a lot of venom, and you could say, because ordinarily she wasn't that kind of person. You know, a calm person and so on. Eh? Then the person, you say something, then the person, I am this. I will never. Then you look and say, that's not who you are. But then you could even see the face change when she's saying that. Now the devil comes and says, I will never do this. I am this. I will never believe these people. I will never accept this. I will never do this. And it's not you saying, it's him. But then you see, you're using the name of the Lord in vain if you repeat it. You see, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. He did not say Jehovah, because that is a description of him. He did not say Yahweh, because that is God's redemption. That's his redemptive name. He has different names for what he's going to do. When he's going to redeem, he comes as Yahweh. Okay? He said, I am. That's my name. You will tell them, I am has sent you. Now that's powerful because it links God and man. You see, eh? That is our link. Because everything you say, I am this. I am blessed. You're actually summoning God inside that statement of yours. Because you're using his name. Praise the Lord. The problem is some of you don't say it often enough. Amen? You're connecting the eternity of God, putting his name and putting yours. I am blessed. I am so and so. I am, you know, I'm prosperous. Anyway, so I was saying, let's go into back into our bit of AI. But you see, even as these people are planning their things, the scripture warns us about a great deception. A great deception. Now, if even the children of the devil are concerned about the deception that could come out of this, it's going to be a big deception. But then you see, the scripture says that Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son. You get it in Amplified. It says, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness. Now, darkness is trying to spread its dominion, but he has delivered us out of that dominion, praise the Lord. Now, the things I'm telling you are just things you are going to go and tell other people to save them from the fires of hell. But for you, you have been delivered from the dominion of darkness, praise the Lord. And even all these things which we are saying. Now, but you see, he said, let me tell you something. If you read Revelation 13, You know, some there are certain scriptures which you read before, and now when you look and see where people are going, if you read Revelation 13, go to Revelation 13, start from verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Go ahead. And deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Go ahead. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Now imagine, you know, there is nothing, you know, Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing under the sun that, I mean, what was is going to be done again. You know that, eh? Now, in Daniel chapter 3, there was an image which Nebuchadnezzar made. Let's go there, Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. Now, I want you to know that 60 cubits is 45 meters. 45 meters is half the length of a football field. Now, imagine a statue which is half the length of a football field, of a football field which you see on TV, half that length, from the goalpost to halfway. A statue that long, high, made of solid gold, shining like this, made by Nebuchadnezzar. And then 6 cubits wide, which is 4.5 meters wide. And then it is placed on a hill in a place called Shinar, which is the same place where the Tower of Babel was built. The first Antichrist, Nimrod. And which is the place where Nebuchadnezzar put that thing, Shinar. And it's also talked about later in the book of Zechariah, that place called Shinar in the Bible. And he puts it up there. Now, I want you to think that is an image, 45 meters up there of gold on a hill. That is an image which is full of splendor. People are going to worship it even without being required to do. I was seeing somebody was calculating how much that gold would be worth in today's what? Today's currency. And putting it in dollars, in billions of dollars. Now imagine, like, up there it's magnificent. Now you think it took a short time, it took so many years for Nebuchadnezzar to build that thing. And then he puts it up there and says, now it has been commanded to your man, when you hear these 6 instruments. Amen? 60 cubits wide, and worshipped when 6 instruments are played. You know where I'm getting. Eh? When you see it, all bow down and what? And worship. Now, if he makes a fake thing made of clay, people will rebel. You see, also the devil comes and he makes something with splendor. Eh? You see that people, that's why the people go and are drawn after celebrities in the world, because they come in a certain splendor. You see, somebody comes in splendor and what, you know, and all this glamour. And then they associate that glamour with that. Now the trouble is, when they see the same glamour in the church, they get angry. Yeah, you man of God, how can you come out on smoke? Where is the rule that only musicians come out? But they hate splendor in the church, you know. Eh? But you see, because they have associated it with them. Now he wants to have control over splendor. Praise the Lord. Now, anyway. So he puts it up there. But you know, there was Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego. Who refused to obey the command of the king. Praise the Lord. That is where we are. Now some of you, you see some people are going, you know, the scripture says obey people in authority, and those with what? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego obey authority and worship the image. And they wouldn't be in the scriptures. They refused. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's some guy, a politician, who called me because they put me on the wall to ask me what I think about this homosexual law and what. So, of course, I came up with sentiments that I've also expressed here. Then the guy heard me, and I think he thought that now this is the time to divert him. Because I know him. I know he's fake. So the guy called me one day and said, why you get devil punch? Now I want you to make fighting homosexuality the cardinal principle of your political career. I said, that's a very good idea. Then he got off the phone. I said, look at this clown. I have the wisdom of God. You cannot divert me with such stupidity. But you see, I don't argue. I don't argue. Even yesterday, I met one. Fake stuff. Fake guys. By the way, let me tell you those guys. First of all, there are people who have even diverted me. I'm supposed to be talking about AI. Fake things. The guy comes, he has been sent by those people to come and divert you. Then he ends up saying, Then you say, okay. Then I gave him 200K for fuel. I said, I don't know, even we sat here, they are serving food, I don't even have money for food. And they said, I said, now, why doesn't the person who sent you to mess me up buy for you lunch? But you know, I bought for him lunch. Then he has given you katwa. Like, you know, fake things. And he expects that you're going to receive it. I have the wisdom. The person who sent you, I am 10 times wiser than him. Now, let me show you. You think I got 10 times from where? Where do you think I got 10 times from? From the scripture. I show you. You get the scripture. Daniel chapter 1. I'm not just talking. Those guys, I have 10 times wiser than them. Now, they send you to me, I look at you, and I say, that's a good idea. I wish you had come earlier with this idea. Man, that is powerful. Then the guy goes, you just get your cappuccino and relax, man. So now, And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them how many times? We walk in scripture than those people. You think I just got 10 from somewhere else? Anyway, I'm about to finish. Praise the Lord. And now, so, the image of the beast. You imagine they make some giant chat GPT which has all carries everything. You understand? And it can talk. And it has life. It has opinions. They already do. Now they make that image. And it says it has the power to make the image. Do what? Image of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And then it goes on to say, also, that the whole world wanders after him whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. Now, people who will resist this thing and look and say, no, I'm not going down that road, their names were written in the Book of Life. Those who are not, they are people who, you just see, they will never believe the truth. Even if it is presented to them, it is so unpalatable. But when a lie comes, they receive it. That's what Jesus told the people, that you like lies. I tell you the truth, you don't want to believe me. But when somebody else comes talking about the Antichrist, I says, I come in the name of the Father, you do not believe me. When somebody else comes in his name, him you will believe. Now there are people who just by designation will go with the lies. And they will go down that road, and then the devil himself will be teaching them the Bible. Now that is what the devil has been looking for something like a human being to come and do what? He inhabits it and dwells among men. And you think that is not in the scripture? It is there. You remember that scripture? Go to Revelation 12. Start from verse 10, I think. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God, their night has been cast down. Go ahead. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and with the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Go ahead. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, what he's talking about is not something which happened before, when the devil fell. No, he's talking about in the second heaven, where now he's even cast from there. And now he comes on earth and has to dwell somewhere. You know, some people think that they're dealing with human beings when they're dealing with humanoids. With people who have been born of certain things. There are people whom you see and they fulfill Genesis 6:5. Every imagination of their heart. Now sometimes I look at Bill Gates and say, this man is not born of a woman. Because like every imagination of is evil. Because you look and say, how can you be so evil? Well, you stand and say that we have to kill 90% of the people on this earth. 90% should die. They are useless. That they said the ideal population is 1 billion. We are currently 8 billion. So they want 7 billion dead. Let them dream on. Now, you see the thing God does, and he's an expert at doing this, is in moments such as this, when he's trying to make something powerful, he will wait and wait and wait until all these people have come. You remember Pharaoh at the Red Sea? You see the children of Israel leave, and the Bible says God is the one who made Pharaoh harden his heart. It's God, not the devil. God hardened his heart and said, you go after them, because he wants to make a name for himself. So he does these things. Then Pharaoh comes with the chariots. Then the children of Israel see him and they are scared. And they cry to Moses, man, why did you bring us to die from here? Of course, because they were scared. These have been their masters for all these years. And they have chariots and what? And they have no ammunition. So they are scared. Then Moses goes to God. And guess what God tells him? That you're going to spend the night here today. Then we'll talk about that tomorrow. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Like, you, to show you that God is not phased. That the Egyptians have come for you. No, no, don't worry. Today you're going to sleep here. Pitch tents here and what? Have some rest. It's been a long day. Yet you're seeing the chariots of Egyptians coming from there. Now, at night, he just puts a fire between them. And for you sleep. And they cannot come. Because God has put a fire and for you sleep. And then, now you know when God says that I carried you on my wings from Egypt. Man, he really meant it. Because, like, just showing them that. So he puts a fire. Then in the morning, he tells, now you part the Red Sea. Now, you know the interesting thing is, so many generations later, the kings of Moab, when Israel attacked them, generations later, they said that we are in trouble. At least the gods who parted the Red Sea, God had made a name for generations. And he waits and waits and says, you come, come, draws them in. And you know he actually says that in the scripture. I will put a hook in you and bring you. Now all these people whom you see, AI, what? He says, come. Now when he does something, it is thorough. Now it says, the children of Israel saw the corpses of the Egyptians on the shores of the Red Sea. And they praised God and said, man. Now he wants to make a name for himself. Now, some of these things which we are telling you about, we know we have to warn you ahead of time, even as I come to an end of this. Praise the Lord. It is just to warn, but the scripture says, unless those days had been shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. Because it's not going to be like, you know. But then, it says the people who know their God will be great and do what? Exploit. And then because your name is written in the Lamb's book, all these things that you see, deception coming at you in all angles, every angle coming at you. Now, like I was reading that site where the children were being, young children, and parents don't know, lockdown, no school. They are studying online. And now that was a trick of the devil because they're studying online, but are they always studying? How do you monitor what they're doing? So I was seeing some parents giving testimonies. How my daughter had this thing, you know, she has always been a bit of a, you know, of a tomboy. But you know that happens. You know, she has always likes to dress, the, you know, jeans and so on. But now during the lockdown, she was on this site. I don't want to mention the name because some of you young people are very curious. So, but probably you know it even more than me. Me, I'm a, what? Mature. Anyway, mature entry. Anyway, so, they find people like that. I don't feel like a girl, I feel like a boy, man. Then they give them, like, you know, like this. After the lockdown, the parents said, my girl said she's going for sex change operation to become a man. Like, that is the high man. People don't understand how big deception that. Do you know what they do? They cut off the breasts. They cut off a piece of the arm and make an artificial penis, which does not even function. And you have to take hormones, hormonal treatment all your life. Like, they destroy them completely. Like, you just see the devil mutilating people. And then, they say if your child decides they want a sex change operation, you do not have the ability to stop them. The law permits them. So imagine your three-year-old says, me, I want an operation. And the law says you can't touch him or her. Then I don't even want to know what they do to men. The thought of it is very revolting. But man, the devil has deceived people, man. Let me tell you something. And the problem we have here is that there are so many Africans who think Bazungu are very clever and what they are, but they are deceived. Like they will receive anything which comes from that direction. Like the other day, you know, UNAIDS came up with an article and said that they are removing defilement. Children can consent as young as 6 years. And you think that people making those decisions are human beings? No, some of them are humanoids. They are sons of what? Of the devil. How can a human being think like that? It's not possible. Those are not human beings. Now you see people making decisions. Then you say, what happened? No. You're talking with a demon. It's not a human being. Because the decisions that come out, you look and say, this is what Genesis 6:5 says. The imagination of their heart was evil continually, every time. Not a single thing comes out of them that is positive. Let me tell you, there is no human being who is capable of fulfilling that scripture. Not one. Even the worst person is capable of good every once in a while. Isn't it? Yeah. But now here it says, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is impossible for a human being to achieve. That means these people were hybrid. And they are saying we are going to be hybrid, according to them, hybrid people in 20, what? 30. We are not. The devil's calendar is his. For us, we have our calendar here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So now those people, all the world marveled, whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. Now you see, we warn people because these things come in slow doses. You know, you have a companion to give you information. You want to do coursework? You just type the question. Then it does all the coursework for you properly with the references, what, all those things. Imagine how lazy people are going to be this. Even references of which books to read and so on. Bam, there. Then there is even a website which says, because I'm told lecturers can feed into ChatGPT and it tells them that this thing was generated by ChatGPT. So there is a website which says we can shift it a bit so that nobody knows it was done by ChatGPT. Now, you university students, that's where it starts. You know, everything starts what? Starts with noble intention. They say the highway to hell is paved with good intentions. Now, Elon Musk says he's doing the humanoid to enhance people's brains. Do you know why he's saying that? To help patients of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. And what? Oh, where it is heading. You see, now when people don't see where something is heading, they become stupid. Because you know, you've known the devil. You know when he starts with something here, we are helping sick people, we are doing this, we are doing that. You know it's heading to evil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Are you happy?
Amen.
Somebody say, God is in control.
God is in control.
Say, my name is written
in
the Lamb's Book of Life. So deception is not my portion. Say, not my portion.
Not my portion.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Have you learned something here today? Hallelujah. Paul says we teach and warn people. This is what we are doing today. Because we are living in special times. But the good news is, God prepared you for this time. And he knew that you have everything it takes to overcome this deception. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You are grounded in truth. Praise the Lord. In the spirit of what? Truth. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amara The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon the watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.